The title of tonight's shiur is Kavona B'Tfila. Let's make a very simple observation. There are two types of mitzvahs, or two types of activities, b'chlal in the Torah. Even if not necessarily in mitzvahs, they could be not in mitzvahs too. There are things where the action is what's most significant, and there are things where the lev is most significant. And bittul chametz is a matter of lev. Something which is totally lev, the maisa per se does not define that which takes place. If I do the maisa, but it's clear that my lev is not there, it has no significance whatsoever. We say when things are dependent upon a maisa, kinyonim and business are dependent on maisa. I can't cut a deal with Leon. Listen, we're going to cut a deal to sell a building, and we shake on it and we make a contract. And tomorrow, one of us will tell, well, I had in mind, the world can't operate on such a basis. So kinyonim, when we transfer property, for example, business, is to the largest extent dependent on the action, on the kinyon shabbat. In other words, at this point, though, we undertake this formal act, it's indicative that we've come to terms. Now, we've actually, with this, transferred the rights to this property. So obviously, in the world of business, we're going to have dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. We can't otherwise, we can't operate. Everyone will come back tomorrow. I thought this, I wanted the next thing. But things which are inherently totally belev, lev is the koveya. Now from that standpoint, Chazal tell us, we have a pasuk in Kriya Shema, Ovdoi b'chol levavachem. Now that's a very strange term. Avoido normally means manual labor. That's avoido. Malacha is in fact higher class, not necessarily manual labor, but higher class activity is called malacha. Avoido is manual labor. So how do we have the term avoido shebelev? It's almost an oxymoron. And Chazal tell us, we'll come back perhaps to why it's called that later on, but zu that avodah shebelev zu tefila, the avodah b'chol levavachem zu tefila. So in actuality, then the shas has defined the essence of tefila, and according to the Rambam, it's clearly a deraisa dika definition. Because according to the Rambam, this pasuk avodah b'chol levavachem is a mitzvah sasayim in atarot mispalo kol yom. Comes from this pasuk. According to the Ramban, it's a definition of Chazal. But nevertheless, the definition is it's avoda shebelev. If we describe it as from the lev, then obviously the act is really what's significant. What's ultimately significant is the lev. So from that standpoint, it's self-evident, the person that would daven, he would recite the entire Shmon Esrei, but he had no kavona. He missed the basic point. Chazal created a format. In other words, in actuality, tefillah should suffice, just believe. Who needs words? It's a regish belief. But Chazal gave it a formal structure. Maybe the formal structures, even in a Torah, according to the Rambam, it's the Torah itself gave a formal structure. We learn from Sukkim. But the articulation is ultimately the expression. It's an outer expression of lev.
Can you give a tighter definition? Because you said
it's an internal feeling. Amuna on Hashem is something which is belief. It's an internal regish. Tefillah is an internal regish. Chazal, obviously, to strengthen the internal regesh, gave it outer expression. Or the Torah gave it outer expression. But ultimately, the essence of the tefillah is the lev, is the inner regesh of the person. Lev is a symbolic use. Lev means a regesh. And in the Torah, we use lev to define regesh. There are societies which use kidneys to define regesh. In our culture, we use lev to define regesh. It's a symbol. It's not a reality.
Have a heart.
Yes. Right. The heart is the most phenomenal pump that the world has created, but it's not the seat of emotion in reality. At least not in the poshuta sense. In the world of Kabbalah, I don't know. That's a whole different realm. But in the... That's where we say chayvas halavavos means things that are internal. The external amuna. There's no external act of amuna. Amuna is internal. It's a regish in a person. So it's self-evident that tefillah needs kavona. And right, these are very famous statements. I presume it's of the Balei Musar. I don't know who the creator of it is. That tefillah without kavona is kaguf b'li neshama. And so, of course, what's the essence of the person is the neshama. The guf is the raiment, the clothing that it wears. But the essence is the neshama. So what they expressed is the outer tefillah, that's the most insignificant part. The essence, the soul of tefillah is the kavona. And what is that kavona? Now, we usually, when we talk about kavona by tefillah, we immediately go in the wrong direction. What do I mean in the wrong direction? We take something which is true, but we make it much more significant than it is, and thereby overlook what's ultimately most significant. If I say the word kavona, I walk into a room and I say, what's kavona b'tefillah? So everyone will say, Perush HaMilas, you know, it's obvious. If you're speaking to the Rabbanu Shlomo, you want to know what you're saying. That's true. But that's not the ultimate kavona of tefillah. That's just an obvious step along the way. If you speak to the Rabbanu Shlomo, then it behooves us to know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't go into a mortal king and speak in a language that I didn't understand. So certainly it behooves me as I come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to speak in a fashion that I'm aware of what I'm saying. But that's not the kavanah we're talking about. The real kavanah, and the Torah goes to length, it speaks at very, very great length about this, the Torah Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah, is an awareness that we're in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's the ultimate Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. And he describes it as being even Korov L'mayla Sanavu, the ultimate level of tefillah, because it's a consciousness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it's at its highest level, it's with such focus on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that a person is almost or is unaware of his physical existence. His physical existence like fades out. He's in a different realm together with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's the way the Torah describes it. That's the ultimate level of tefillah. We understand then that Hasidim HaRishonim that were described in Masechta Brochus, that it took 3 hours to daven each tefillah. Like an hour to prepare for Shemoneh Esrei, an hour for Shemoneh Esrei, and an hour to float back to this world, is because they truly, it was a transcendental experience. They left this world. And it took a great deal of achana to leave it behind. And when you finish tefillah, you just don't pop back down. You're standing in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom with a very acute awareness of his presence. So to come back to this world is also a process. Now the Rashba writes, when we talk about tefillah, if I'm aware that I'm speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's the most basic level of kavanah. And if I'm aware of that, the Rashba writes, then I'm yotzi tefillah. Nothing else. With nothing else. What's the essence of tefillah? As the Chayyim Salavova says, is an awareness of my dependence on the Rabbeinu Shalom. So I go to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom because I'm aware. He's the Melech and I'm the Eved, and I'm coming to speak to him. That's the essence of what tefillah is. Idach Perusha, the rest is the details. But the overarching klal of what tefillah is, that Hashem is the Melech, and what do you have to do? That's the essence of what tefillah is. Now from that standpoint, there's a very interesting thing. And I have a chaver who once, let me first tell you the Chofetz Chaim's kasha, then I'll tell you what happened with my chaver. The Shulchan Aruch says that if I did not have kavono of the words in the recitation of the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, I'm supposed to daven again. The Rambam says we're not noyeg, it is not our practice to daven again. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I am befuddled. He says, let's say a guy gets up to Goyel Yisrael and he realized that he didn't have kavanah but the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so the Rambam did not want to tell us to daven again, perhaps because of a healthy skepticism that we wouldn't do much better the next time. Fine, he said, but how do I finish the Shmoneh Esrei? I have a whole right to have ahead of me 12 more brachos. If I wasn't Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei, you tell me not to daven again Ramela, but what gives me the license to finish Shmoneh Esrei? And the Chofetz Chaim says he doesn't understand. He leaves himself, he has a quandary. So a chaver of mine asked Rav Moshe this, and Rav Moshe told him you could go on davening Yotzei. I says, the Shulchan Aruch says you're not Yotzei. So he says, what the Shulchan Aruch means to say is there's a din of tefillah. In effect, that's what came out, and there's a din of kavanah. That's what came out, that's what I understood, and the stipler spells this out on the shir. There's a din of kavanah betefillah. The din of tefillah, you were Yotzei. There's another din, you have to have kavanah betefillah. That din, you weren't Yotzei, and the Rambam says we don't go back for that purpose. But so it comes out according to them, to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal and the Stipler, Zechut Tzadik Livrocha, a person that davened Shmoneh Esrei, and he did not have kavon on the Perush Amilas of Ovis. Nevertheless, he's Yotze the Din Tefillah. It's Yotze. It's a rather poor Tefillah, but he's Yotze. But why? Because as the Rashba articulated, the essence of tefillah is an awareness that I'm speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. As long as I'm aware I'm speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm Yotzei tefillah. Now, there are two parts to tefillah. Two different parts, totally. At the end of Shiras Dovah, I come back to this all the time because this was so eye-opening to me that as I learn many, many different things, it's the mafteach, it's the key to understanding an enormous amount of halachas and sugyas and shas. And the Malbim articulates it in a few words. At the end of Shiras Dovid, it says, Alke, Chumash Rabbi Yisai, Chumash, 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 Chumash So Alkin Oyidcha Hashem Bagoyim Ulashimcha Zamer Magdil Yeshua's Malko Iva Isa Chesed Lemshicho Lidogud Lizaro Aroyim. Those are the last two psukim in Shiva's Dog. Alkin Oyidcha Hashem Bagoyim Ulashimcha Zamer. What? It's in the Haftarah for Hazino. The very end of Haftarah Hazino. When it's not Shabbos Shuva, when Hazina was not Shabbos Shuva, okay. Oh, you dechah Hashem Magoyim leshimcha Azaber Magdil Yeshua's Malkoi. But it's the Chesed of Shiva, the Yomer of the Zaro Adol. This is from Shmuel Beis Perakov Beis. So the Malbim wants to know what is the connection of these last two pesukim. The next to last pasuk, we understand. Okay, Oy Yidcha Hashem Bagoyim Ulashimcha Azamer. David is singing the praises of the Rabbeinu Shalom for his salvation. So he prays. Then he turns around and says, Magdil Yeshua's Malko, intensify. Malko was David. V'yosef Chesed Mashiach was anointed one as also David. The David of the Zaro Adaylam. So the Malbim writes that commensurate with the level of Haidah that a person gives, he's placed on a new platform to empower him to be mavakish, to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to attend to his needs. And therefore, after and the culmination of Shiras David, Alkin, Oyidcha Hashem Bagoyim, Leshimcha Azamer, so what does David say? Now that I've given the praise, is Magdil Yishoros Malko, have a new platform for Bakosha. So commensurate with the level of praise, commensurate exactly with that, is the new level of bakasha that a person is able to ask of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And I've always felt that the ultimate level of tefillah is haidah. Chovas HaLevavos writes that the function of tefillah is that we should feel, it's not for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's that we should understand and integrate our dependence on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's why we daven. Now, that understanding in tefillah is an abstraction. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is abstract. My request is abstract. And everything is abstract. At the time of Haidah, the abstraction has now become concrete. I asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for a certain thing. Now I hold it in my hand. It happened. So it's no longer an abstraction. It's something which is very concrete and real now. And that is the ultimate hakara, the ultimate recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in Haidah. So that's in effect really the highest level of tefillah. Then when I give Haidah to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'm in the most concrete fashion expressing my dependence on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It came from you. It all comes from you. Now, yesterday I want to have a cup of coffee. Today I'm holding the cup of coffee in my hand. Where did it come from? It came from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's concrete. So those are the two aspects of this aspect of tefillah of bakosha, of one aspect of depending, our dependence on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and then this haidah, which is in effect a deeper recognition of our dependence on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's why we find something very interesting. The Stipler, in fact, in quotes, there are Rishonim that state that if one failed to have Kavona by Avos, then it suffices to have Kavona by Moedim. Because those are the two high points of the Tefillah. The high point of the Tefillah, the beginning, and recognizing we're approaching the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're dependent on him. And then ultimately, the Haidah that we give to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So if we have Kavona, but that Kavona is an intensely internal Kavona. It's not the act. It's the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature of what's taking place. Now, there's another aspect to the Bracha of Avos. And maybe that's also part of the fact why the halacha was so insistent that we have kavona and avos. If the Vilna Gaon and his perush on Shmoneh Esrei, I mean, it's to learn anything at a Vilna Gaon, just one enters a different realm. It's just this total grasp of everything in Yahadus and everything in Torah, on exactly what it means, what it's connected to. It's just of a different realm, the Holy Goyin in his writings. The Holy Goyin in his Perush on Shemoneh Esrei tells us that all the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, starting with Avos and all the way through Shema Kaleinu, that's 16 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, all of them are alluded to in the bracha of Avos. All 16. Torah tzei. And the Goyin in his Perush on Shemoneh Esrei goes out of his way each time when he comes to a bracha to tell us what word in Avos was the allusion to this particular part of the tefillah. But from the Vilna Goyin, I came to a tremendous insight. He opened my eyes to something which I don't know for sure that it's correct, but it very likely is correct. Why don't we recite the regular Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos? Now, there are two different things at play here. It's very hard to... One Indian is that it says we don't make bakoshos on Shabbos. But Tosfos and Chavavah Medbeis and Brochus says Mutnei HaTorach, because of Tircho. Maybe that's the reason we don't make bakoshos, maybe for that reason, but it's only because of Torah, not because this is something inherently inappropriate with the bakoshos. It's more than we have to be matriach ourselves. According to the Vilna Goyin, it's very simple. Everything we said in Ovis already, everything all the way up until Ritzay, that's in the weekday Shemoneh Esrei, we said in Ovis. So on Shabbos, we don't bother with the breakdown, into the, you know, to spell it out into the longer versions of each of the brachas. We suffice with the klal, with the first bracha. Because the first bracha has the essence of the entire Shemoneh Esrei up until Ritzay. It's all in the first bracha. So it could be, according to the Goyin, that that's also part of it. That Chazal did not want to impose upon us on Shabbos. We suffice with the short version. But it's all there. We didn't leave any. It's not that we didn't have it on Shabbos. No, we have it on Shabbos. It's just in the first bracha. So, the entire process of tefillah, is to lead us to an understanding of where we stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Tzur Shulchan Aruch writes, right, they're basically, I would say, 3.5 parts to the tefillah. I'm not concerned right now with the Birchas HaShachar and with the Karbonos. Let's start after that. There are three and a half basic parts to tefillah. There's the Pesukei de Zimra. There's Birchas Kriyashma, and I say 3.5, there's Kriyashma. So that somehow the Kriyashma, Birchas Kriyashma is like 1.5. And then the Shemoneh Esrei. The Tzur Shulchan Aruch writes that what do we have Shemoneh Esrei? Lo'ilam yisader odnam shvochu v'achakach yispalu. The same way that we start the Shemoneh Esrei with Shevach HaBakadosh Baruch Hu, and then we go on to the Bakasha. So we start the whole tefillah. Now, Shevach, what is Shevach HaBakadosh Baruch Hu? The Shevach in the Zaydoh. Now, in the house of Brisk, they define it this way, and I was rather interestingly, I found Reb Chaim Konyevsky, Shlita, in one of his Machzorim also defines it in this fashion. What's Shevach and what's Zaydoh? Shevach is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a very abstract sense. Let's say I am taken with the vastness of the universe, that beyond Pluto there's a vast space, outer space, seemingly endless. It just speaks of a Rabbeinu Shalom that made such an enormous world. He made cell phones too. Now, as far as I presently know, maybe one day science will teach us otherwise, but as far as I presently know, the vast areas of outer space beyond Pluto don't have any effect upon me. I don't benefit from them. It's for, maybe one day we'll understand, in fact, that there is a way that this whole world is dependent on that part of it, but right now we don't know about it. So my only perspective on it is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abstractly, Rabban Hashem is great. Haidah is thanking for the Rabban Hashem, what he gave to me, what he did for me. That's a whole different thing. I have a house to live in, I have panosa, I have a wife, I have children, grandchildren, whatever, all the things that a person might have, that I have. That's Haidah to the Rabban Hashem. Shevach is principally to focus on the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at this, Rabban Hashem made the entire world around us. The whole Psukah de Zimra is to talk about the natural world. How the Rabban Hashem structured the natural world. And there are points of Haidah. There is Haidah. Pasechet Yedecha must be Elachol Chayro. So we have points of Haidah. But most of it is Shevach. The greatness, the grandeur of the Rabban Hashem and the world that he made, what he's done. Now, what's the point of that? The point of that is very simply that it's appropriate to be mispalot to the Rabban Shalom. The Rabban Shalom is this one that's made this entire enormous, the greatness of Hashem is such that it's worthy to daven to him. Right? That's one of the perspectives and the connection of Gula L'Tfila. One perspective that Rabbeinu Yonah gives us is in life we have to make sure we come to the right address. If I want you to help me, I want a person to help me, I have to be sure that I come to the right address. If I come to a person, he's a very sympathetic person and a very good person, and I knock on his door and he lets me in and he sits down, and then he tells me with all sincerity, I really want to help you, but you have one little mistake, I'm not the guy. I'm not in the position to do it. Right? I went halfway across the world once. That's not the reason that I went, but I was here. I needed to help somebody here in the United States. And I knew a certain guy in Eretz Yisrael that I'm friendly with, and I believed that he was able to help me. So I made an appointment with him. We met. It was 11:30, 11:40 at night. It was fine that we met. And he heard what I wanted, and he said, "You made one little mistake." He said, "I'm not the right one. My family is the right one, but it's this other member in my family that you have to go to. He's the one that can help you." I knew the other person too, who lived in the United States. So when I came back, I went to him, and he helped me tremendously. But we go, when we knock on a door, we have to be sure we're going to the right door. It doesn't help if I knock on the wrong door and the person is old, he's the nicest person and the most sympathetic person, but he doesn't have the power to help me, so what could I do? I wasted my time. So we start off with a realization that that's Gula L'Tfila. The Rabban Shalom had the power to take us out of Mitzrayim. Then it's worth davening. If the Rabban Shalom could make this vast world around us, then my little problems is a very minor issue for him to solve. So we're headed towards the realization that of the Rabban Shalom. The Birchas Kriya Shema, we need to daven properly, you have to have a very deep-seated emunah, a belief in Hashem. If a person doesn't have emunah, can't daven. So Shema Yisrael, that's why we have Shema Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. The realization, this is it, the Rabban Shalom is the one in the world. That's the platform upon which all tefillah stands. The Birchas Kriya Shema have three parts to it. And they all push in the same direction. The first bracha in the Birchas Kriya Shema at night and in the day, both by Marav and Chachris, talks about the natural world around us. The day, the night, how it operates. The second bracha in both the day and the night is about Torah. The Rambam tells us there are two ways, if we wish to discover the Rabban Shalom in this world, there are two ways to see the Rabban Shalom. There's the way of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu looked at the world, its complexity, its vastness, and he said, there has to be a Rabban Shalom. We see the Rabban Shalom in the natural world. There's a second way the Rambam writes that we see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that's through Torah. Through how the Rabbeinu, what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has taught us in Torah, how he reveals himself through Torah. Those are the two connections. The Rambam says that a person comes to Amunah through both of them. So before we come to the Kriya Shema, we focus on the two aspects which bring a person to Amunah. The natural world around us, and the hand of Hashem in the natural world, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is revealed here in the Torah. After that, now I'm ready to say Shema Yisrael. And then finally, we end with the connection of Gula L'Tvila, the realization again that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the address. He is the one. So, the essence, the whole flow of the Tefillah is to establish the Kavanah. Kavanah in the sense, in the large sense, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The awareness of His presence, and that I'm standing in His presence. This is the essence of what we're out to do in Tefillah. In the Tefillah, there are two types of things in the Tefillah. We examine the 13 middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, there are two types of things. One is we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for all our existential needs. We have Atachin and Adam Das, Rafa'inu, Baruch Aleinu, and if somehow we didn't get something in with all of that, and we have Shema Kaleinu to put anything else that we could think of that we want to put into the equation, we are in our existence in this world are dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What makes us human, L'ruach Mamalalo, is the seichel that we have. A person without seichel is not a person, he's defective. He lacks in his humanity. So the first bracha that we need each day is the bracha of that the brain functions appropriately. Beyond that, we need good health to be able to exist in this world. If we have good health, then we have the problem, we have to sustain ourselves in this world. So we ask the Rabbeinu Shem Baruch Aleinu. And there's one more need that we have that we also ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for, and that's security. If one looks at Shemoneh Esrei, we have the bracha Re'eva Onyeinu, Re'eva Galeinu Mehiron Laman Shemecha Ki Goyel Chazakoto. Now what do we have this bracha? We have another bracha to Kabbash Shefa Godel L'Cheruseinu, seems to say. We have a bracha of Yerushalayim, a bracha of Es Tzemach. So after all of that, we still need a bracha of Revo Galina Mahiron Man Shemecha. What does this bracha add? So Rashi in Masechet Megillah tells us that this bracha has a different intention than we think. This bracha is not talking about the Gula Asida, about Mashiach. This bracha is talking how we're going to get to Mashiach. How we're going to get there. In the difficult trip of Jewish history, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should preserve us. That's what the bracha Re'eva Onyeinu, Galeinu Mehiron Laman Shemecha, is the mini gulas that we need along the way, the mini redemptions, just that we that Klal Yisrael survives until Mashiach shows up on the scene. So, those are the four basic things that we must pala for. Again, Das, which is ultimately what defines us as human beings, security, health, and parnasa. Those are four pretty big things. And the Shemoneh Esrei, four of its brachos, four of its 13 middle brachos are focused on that. Then there are brachas, a second category of brachas, which deal with our standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecho, Slachmanu Avinu Kichatonu. In Rifa'enu is a mixed bracha. There's another aspect to it. The Gemara says, asks in Megillah, in the Sugi Daf Yud Ches, the order of the brachas, and the Gemara says that after tshuva comes refuah. Why? Because the pasuk says v'shavarofalei. Now Rifa'enu seems to be a bracha for physical health. So the Mashok in Masechta Megillah, the Mashok quotes the Rambam from the Shmona Prokem, I believe, that the Rambam was a physician. It's very interesting. The body suffers ailments, and the neshama has its own maladies. When we're involved in chet, it's like a person ate poison today, sick. He ate poison. He has to purge the poison from his body if he wants to regain his health. If we involve ourselves in chet, so the neshama becomes poisoned. So we need the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's two things. Tshuva only assures us of the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom is not going to punish us. The Goyim writes, the Vilna Goyim writes, that in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, it's very hard. A korban was the final step in providing refuah. In the Golus, we're grossly lacking in that step. So the Marsha says the Rifa'enu includes within it the Rifuas HaNefesh. We're asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm not going to get punished, but that's it. But my neshama is ill. So then we need a special siyata d'shmaya b'shovar rofalo. So we have our existential needs. We have focus on our spiritual needs, our standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then we have the third part of those bakoshas. The third part of the bakoshas have to do with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael in the world. Right? It's the Reiv Onyenu. It's a little bit in that regard as we go along, but in a much more significant sense, Tkab Shoifa Godol, Ashiva Shofteinu, with Yerushalayim, Es Tzemach, all of those brachos deal with the Rabbeinu Shalom's connection to Klal Yisrael. That connection to Klal Yisrael. We ask for the Gula to restore ourselves in the world, to restore Yerushalayim, to bring Mashiach. So, that's another part of the brachos that we have. We have the final part of Shmoneh Esrei. The final part of Shmoneh Esrei has really three parts. The part which the Rambam says comes from the Rambam says it's a deraisa dika part, is the bracha of Haidah. The Rambam says that min haTorah, the Torah provided the structure for Shmoneh Esrei. That first we begin with Shevach, then we have Bakosha, and we end with Haidah. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that where do we see that you have to give Shevach and then Bakosha? So Moshe Rabbeinu said in the beginning of Parshas Veschanan, Atah haroi achiloisa lara haroisa sevdecha as godlecha ves yodecha chazoka Hashem ikel v'ashamayim v'oros asher yaseh ha'masecha v'chikur osecha. How great the Rabbeinu Shalom, praised the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then he says, Ebrono v'eres aros ha'toyva. Then he was mevakish. But the Kesef Mishnah says he does not know what the source, but the Rambam says that after the Bakoshes you have to have Haidah. And it's almost a Dvar Pella. I once detected it in the Psukim, and I was arguing with one of my Chassidish friends, a Chassidish Talmud Chochem, about it. And then I went and I looked further and I found that, in fact, it's where I thought, what I thought the limud is from the psukim, the Sifri spells it out. Pashas Bezois HaBrocha, if we look at Bezois HaBrocha, what is Bezois HaBrocha? Was the tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu offered for Klal Yisrael. So the beginning of the parasha was Hashem Yisina Bovazorach Misei Elomo Yafiyam Ha'aporon Afchai, the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shevach to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, etc. Afchai V'Vamim Kol Kedosh Shabiyam Tukul Raglecho Yisam, and they give Shevach to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Then comes all of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs for the Osir of Klal Yisrael. After all of that, where does Moshe Rabbeinu then go? That Ashrecha Yisrael Mikamoicha Amno Yishav Hashem Mogin Azrecha Vasher Cherv Gav Osecha. We talk again that of Amno Yishav Hashem. We praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So there's the Haidah. It ends with Haidah. The Sifri spells it out. The Sifri in Pashas Bezeis HaBrocha tells us that that's a Deraisa Dikadin. Ramea Simcha also talks about it there. He quotes the Sifri. But the Sifri, in fact, derives it. I think the Sifri is at the beginning of the parasha. You'll find it, Leon. The very beginning it should be in a parasha, yeah. So this is a Deraisa Dika structure. Now, so the Haidah is a necessary part. The Haidah is a necessary part, Minat Torah. But we have two other parts. One is, I believe, it's what I understood from the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, that ultimately tefillah is b'mokum kabonos. But the real deal is the korban. So Mamela, we asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Ritzei, that he should accept our tefillah as if we had in fact brought the korban to him. We're lacking the korban. So Ritzei in fact is the bridge between those two. We're supposed to bring a korban, we don't have the korban, so the tefillah is b'mokum kabonos. So now we asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he should receive our tefillah as if we brought the korban to him. Now what I found always fascinating is the bracha of Shalom Rav Asim Shalom. This to me is the most I had a problem with it. And I did find some sefer in the Droshes also has this kasha. He has his own teretz. But the Chassam Sofer also was bothered by this. So the structure of the Shmoneh Esrei principally is the Shevach at the beginning, Bakoshes in the central part, and the Haidah at the end. Okay, so Ritzei is a bridge between our tefillah and the Karbonos. Okay. But if I asked, where should we put Sim Shalom into the Shmoneh Esrei? Where does it belong? It belongs probably right before Shema Kaleinu. That's where it belongs, the Bakoshes. So what happened? All of a sudden we finished the Bakoshes, we went to Maida, and all of a sudden, oh, I forgot something, 1 second. It's the Pshat. So the Chassam Sofer already asked this question, I found. So what the Malbim opened my eyes to what the answer to this question is. What's the very last Mishnah in Shas, Rabbi Yisai? In the end of Uktzin. Uktzin is a very esoteric Masechta. Very, very esoteric. I mean, I just recently learned it. You know, very, very esoteric dinim in Tumah and Taira, and basically the Shiurim of Tumah and Taira. But the last Mishnah comes back to this world. And the last Mishnah talks about the Mile of Shalom. That this is the ultimate bracha that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gives us is Birchas HaShalom. And that's really the yisoid of all the brachas that we have. And for that reason, I believe, that's why Sim Shalom was placed at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. At what point am I at the greatest level to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for what's ultimately the most important thing in the entire Shmoneh Esrei, is Shalom, is after Haidah, the Malbim says. After we gave Haidah, now we stand at the highest level, and I can ask, I'm on a new platform for Tefillah. So now I ask Sim Shalom, because that's the ultimate bracha of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is a general view of the kavona. In other words, if we have an understanding of the structure of davening and what we're out to do, the varied steps in the kavona to prepare us, the psukah de zimra, the brichas kriyashma, the kriyashma, the smichas gula, all of this is to prepare us to have the appropriate kavona before the Rabbeinu Shalom b'tvila. So all of that is a hachona l'kach. Now, this notion of the connection between Haidah and Bakosha is a tremendous mafteach. It opens up so many different things. The Mishnah at the end of Masechta Brachos, the ninth parak, writes, I think Rabbi Yossi, that when a person enters a large city, Chazal were very leery of large cities. But as Mashver said, they weren't talking about New York. New York is not a city, it's a medina, you know, in its own right. Because inevitably, in a large city, you have to have a whole bureaucracy and a government and politics and enforcement and rules and regulations. It's the furthest thing from being a place that's free. It's the nature of a large city. And it is said. So Chazal stated, when a person enters a krach, he should do two things. Is noisen hadola ova, that he got here in one piece, v'tzayek ala osid. Because that's the Seder. The Seder is noisen hadola ova, and now I'm in the best position to be tzayek ala osid. The Chofetz Chaim seems to state that this is really, I'll put it this way. When my Shrezel was Angazum, when he first came to Mir Yeshiva, so right when he came, he ended benching by Lo'ilam Ayichas Reino. That many of the Litvisher places, that's what I ended. They ended the Birchas Hamozen, I meant to say. They ended Birchas Hamozen, Lo'ilam Ayichas Reino. They did not recite the Harachamons in many Litvisher places. So, in the group in which he ate, so some guy, older guy, started to harass him for it. So the person that later was one of the major Roshivas here in Mir, Shul Brudny, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, told the guy to bug off and leave him alone. But the point is a very important point. The Birchas Hamozen ends with Lo'ilam Ayichas Reino. That's the end of Birchas Hamozen. That's the end of the four brachas, and that's it. So what are all the harachamons afterwards? They're all tefillas. So why do we have a whole section of tefillas? The most significant haidah that we give every single day is Birchas Hamozen. We take four brachas to be Mishabeach, the Rabbeinu Shalom, for sustaining us with food. It's the most significant haidah that we give throughout the day. And it's not in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so I can do what I want. So after we give haidah to the Rabbeinu Shalom, so we're in an optimal position to be mevakish. So we seize the moment, the Chofetz Chaim writes, to make a whole bunch of requests of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to redeem us. We ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to find a Seinu B'chavoyt. All the things that we would want, a wish list. So we have a whole bunch of tefillas. Why? Because we seize the opportunity of the Haidah. And I'll end with this. There's a very mysterious thing, and many have struggled with it. The Torah Tmima, I think in Baruch Sha'amar, if I recall correctly, he wants to say that it doesn't even exist, but his theory has been refuted. But the question is, why we have this minig on Shabbos? We say Migdol, and in the weekdays we say Magdol. I mean, Ad Kedei Kach, the Torah Tmima wanted to write that it said that the pasuk is in Shmuel Beis, and that's what the only problem is, that we find it in Rishonim that existed before the era of printing, and the priests who printed the Bible are the ones that made Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. So it did not exist at the time of the Rishonim, so it could not have been that. Kitzah Hadvarim. So I thought the answer is very simple. Migdol is a praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How great there is, a source of strength, he's a fortress. Magdil is a bakasha. Shabbos, we don't make bakashas. Very simply. So therefore, depending, if it's the weekdays, we seize the opportunity to make a bakasha. Magdil Yeshua is Malka. And Shabbos, we shy away from bakasha, so we say Migdol, we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam for the tremendous strength that he gives us. So this is an outline, Rabbi Yisrael, of the structure of the tefillah, the varied kavanas and the varied parts of the tefillah, how it all comes together into one cohesive whole. May the Rabbi Shel Olam grant that we find inspiration in the structure of the tefillah to endow our tefillah with appropriate kavanah.